At the top of the slope, there is the skier, poles under the arms, in a crouch, goggles cleared and cleansed. It is a full moment, a moment of almost pure alertness, a moment you can see it in his stance of resolve. What a word. Listen for reverberations. We hear highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom. We hear highly resolve. Christmas tide 2010. Oh, we know the peril of the path ahead. We know the incline of the trail. We know the ferocity of the snow and of the ice. And yet, we proceed in faith. We recite here at Marsh Chapel to keep us ourselves on our toes, the reality of life about us, poetically put by Shakespeare in his 66th sonnet. Just to be sure, tired with all of these, for restful death I cry, as to behold desert a beggar born, and needy nothing trimmed in jollity, and purest faith unhappily forsworn, and gilded honor shamefully misplaced, and maiden virtue rudely strumpeted, and right perfection wrongfully disgraced, and strength by limping sway disabled, and art made tongue-tied by authority, and folly doctor-like controlling skill, and simple truth miscalled simplicity, and captive good attending captain ill. Tired with all of these, from these would I be gone, save that to die I leave my love alone. No, we know the slope. It's the spirit of resolution, Christmastide 2010, that carries us forward. What shall we resolve this Christmastide? Let us resolve to be there. My friend says, wherever you are, be there. It has a Buddhist, a gnomic quality, does his aphorism. Wherever you are, be there, be there, be present. The poetic loveliness of John in the first chapter, this hymn, composed by whomever and appended whenever to the beginning of the gospel, is itself a little Matterhorn. You will remember perhaps seeing photographs of the Matterhorn. Height, power, ice, beauty. John Calvin, writing with such imagery to kindle the mind, wrote of the glory and grandeur of Almighty God. We this week visited, as often we do in the winter, our own nearby mountainous Lake Placid and its beauty and its trails and its loveliness, the starry heavens above and the moral law within, creation and conscience still us still. In the beauty of such loveliness, we gather I and thou. Wherever you are, be there. Now, you will have a challenge because the technological tempests of our time are rolling towards you in 2010. I am told that's a happy sermonic locution, meaning I haven't checked it to be sure. I am told that there was a groom recently who interrupted his own wedding vows to reset his status on his social network. I don't need to check it for two reasons. One, I see, as you do, the rising tide of, here's a neologism for the new year, internet action, I it. When the gospel, grace and truth, is I, thou. The other reason I don't need to check is after 32 years and 600 weddings, I can testify anything can happen, and it will. We promote here a Christian Trinitarian existentialism. Be there, meaning breathe, listen, smile, lung, ear, lips, creator, redeemer, sustainer, Father, Son, Spirit. Be there, breathe, listen, smile. Let us resolve to be reconciled. The reading from Ephesians rests on these words: redemption, forgiveness, new life. Be reconciled. This Christmas I saw the remains of an old, now superannuated magazine, Katalogata. That is the Greek word meaning be reconciled. This is a season of change, and there is a transformative spirit of pardon loose in the universe. You may have somebody with whom you need to katalogata, be reconciled. If so, we offer you some language to begin this year. You might say, either in person or on the phone, hello, we haven't spoken in some time, fill in the amount of time, since that long ago incident, fill in and identify the quarrel, but I have a New Year's resolution. I'd like to mend as much fence as I can this year, and I would like to invite you to have lunch with me. As a matter of fact, I heard a sermon on Sunday at Marsh Chapel, fill in, present in the nave, listened on the radio, heard on the internet, read online, in which the preacher encouraged us, katalogeta, to be reconciled. Blame it on me. It's fine for the new year. So I'd like to invite you, who knows whether things will change, to come and sit with me. We could talk and eat. Lunch is on me. There is a spirit of reconciliation loose in the universe. Set your sail and go with the flow. Let us resolve to be real in this new year. Lionel Trilling some years ago wrote an essay about sincerity and authenticity. I believe he was consigning sincerity to the modern period and giving those of us in the late modern or postmodern era the virtue of authenticity. But you know, real human beings are both sincere and authentic. Authentically sincere and sincerely authentic. At a party this week, I met a third grader. She doesn't know me from Adam's house cat, and I didn't learn her name. But she told me that she's required to read for 20 minutes. So, as one of the world's last readers myself, I asked her, "What do you read?" And she said, "I didn't expect it at all. The Bible." And there was something so sincere, authentic, real in the moment. And I thought, what treasured strangeness she will find in law and prophets and writings. What strange treasures she will find in gospel and letters and apocalypse. And if she can stop texting for 20 minutes a day, you can too. Let us be real come 2010. Let us be happy in this coming year. We are descendants of John Wesley, who spoke about being happy in God. He said of his Methodist folks that they were poor folks, happy in God. Well, we are his descendants and theirs, And we may well enjoy in this coming year the happiness of confidence, not a false cheeriness, but the confidence that is born of obedience, the confidence of a peace that passes understanding. Colin Williams used to say at Yale that the purpose of preaching on Sunday morning is to restore all to the comfort and confidence of God's grace, so that then we might go into the world to work and to seek and to do. Let us be happy in the new and the coming year. You know, I realized this year that I have been tight-lipped about the happiness of pastoral ministry. I haven't said enough about the joy of the life of faith, but within that, the happiness of pastoral ministry. There are many forms of ministry. But the joy of birth itself, the joy of the messiness of Christmas Eve and angels and shepherds. I refer you to the novel A Prayer for Owen Meany. Read just the first third. The craziness of weddings. My colleague used to say about the party following, "Are you going to the deception?" And then he would laugh. The happiness of seeing someone discover the rhythms and disciplines of generosity. The thrill of seeing someone come home to one's own most self. And the privilege and honor of being present for difficult decisions, for dilemmas, and in the time of death, to be with people who recognize a dignity in the hour of death and can face disappointment with honesty. Friends, this year, this new year and this new decade, let us resolve, and let us resolve to be there, to be reconciled, to be real, to be happy as we celebrate at Christmastide. Heaven cannot hold him, nor earth sustain. Heaven and earth will flee away when he comes to reign. In the bleak midwinter, a stable place sufficed. The Lord God Almighty, Jesus Christ.